Well, this is going to be interesting. Tim Horan is on the back of a bus coming back from the match between France and Ireland in Cardiff. Are you there, Tim?
Yeah, go, boys. Just at the back of the bus at the moment with a lot of Irish supporters coming back from Cardiff after a good performance against France today and heading back towards London. But, yeah, pretty impressed with Irish win there tonight. But obviously the Wallabies last night was fantastic. That defensive effort was probably the best defensive effort I've seen in probably at least 10 or 15 years. And Nathan Gray, the defensive coach, is obviously will be very pleased with that, but still a long way to go in this tournament.
Now, Tim, you guys made history at Twickenham in 1991. Something special seems to be happening at that ground for the Wallabies in the last couple of games.
Yeah, it is. I think Michael Checker's got a really good culture and a really good, a settled team at the moment in the Wallabies. And when you look at the reserves when they came on, as Michael Checker calls them, he calls them finishers. He doesn't call them reserves. And when they come on, they do a really good job. And I think when we're down to 13 men for about 8 minutes of that match, and I was calling it on Fox Sports with Greg Clark, and at the end of the game, I said to Greg Clark, gee, were there some tries in that game? It actually felt like there was tries. It was a really close game, an open game, and obviously only penalties. But one of the most exciting games I've had to call because of the pressure that was involved in the game, and especially, you know, winning the pool was very important for Australia to go on the left side of the draw where you now play Scotland next Sunday.
Tim, you've mentioned the defensive effort and the best you've seen for a decade. The set piece is very trusting at the moment with their scrum and the line out. What is the biggest difference do you see at the moment?
Well, I think it's just the commitment from all the players right across the field. Like the backs and the forwards are really getting to the breakdown quickly to allow Will Genia or Nick Phipps as replacement halfback to come on and move the ball. And even just watching the majority of the other games in this World Cup, it's a really open, expansive World Cup that Australia are really, and the All Blacks are probably the only two teams that, and maybe Japan to a certain extent, playing with some width in their play and actually spreading the ball wide to stretch the defensive pattern. And I think that what Michael Checker's trying to employ is to play with the ball. And Stephen Larkin, the assistant coach of the Wallabies as well, has done a great job. And to be able to allow someone like a Bernard Foley, the way that he's playing really a flat line attack. So I would just say that the players are trusting each other. And, you know, when we're lucky enough to win in 1999, the biggest ingredient for us was to trust the guy next year and trust what he was going to do, whether it was an attack or defence. And they're certainly doing that very well.
Did you expect Bernard Foley to be the 10 that he's become in the last few matches for the Wallabies?
Yeah, I think that what he's done with the Waratahs over the last couple of years, he's got so much experience now. And, you know, he won the Super Rugby title there last year with that kick towards the end. I just, the way that he's been able to work with Stephen Larkham and the other coaches now has really added a lot to his game. He's playing a lot flatter, and you can see him bossing other players around. And it's great to see, you know, players like Ben McCallman, who's coming in, playing off the bench, they really know exactly where the players are going, and he's been able to sort of hit those forward runners and get across the advantage. So I just like the platform that they're setting.
Yeah, and this Twickenham ground is becoming their home ground. They're playing Scotland in the quarterfinals there, and I dare say that's going to help them.
Yeah, hopefully. There'll be a fair few Scottish supporters there in kilts, no doubt. you know, a couple of weekends ago when we were playing England, there was Welsh supporters walking around with gold scarves. But last week, last night, there was plenty of Welsh supporters as well. So wonderful atmosphere over here in England. And as I said, leaving Wales now with a pretty rowdy Irish supporter group on a bus. And it's a great atmosphere to understand how big rugby's become in the last 4 years. That you know, every single stadium has got 50, 60, 70,000 people, full to capacity at every match.
What do you think this Wallabies' success, and I know there's a long way to go, and Michael Checker would hate the thought of, you know, thinking big picture out of what the Wallabies have done so far at this tournament, but, you know, rugby's sort of had its ups and downs in the last few years, and a year ago, you know, things didn't look that great, but now it's exploded with what Michael Checker's done with the Wallabies. Does this translate to a bigger picture back home, do you think, Tim?
Yeah, well, it's a bit more time. There's a couple more games to go for Michael Checker to realise what he's been trying to achieve in the last year. But you play a quarterfinal. If you win the quarterfinal, which is going to be difficult against Scotland next Sunday and early Monday morning Australian time, to be able to see where the Wallabies are at. And if you win that test match, then you're going to have to play Ireland or Argentina in the semi-final. So there's still a bit to go there yet, but the signs are really good. The support over here in the UK, there's a lot of Australians over here, expats, but also people who have travelled to watch the Wallabies, and there's a good belief and a good understanding of what they're trying to achieve. And the good thing I like about Michael Cech and the team, and so you'd appreciate this, they're keeping their feet on the ground. They're not getting too carried away with their performances the last couple of weeks.
No, they're not, mate. I suppose the sour note, Pocock calf injury, Matt Giddo came off with what looked to be a reoccurring rib problem. They're trying to get Izzy Folau back out there from that ankle, Tim. Realistically, how much has that game taken out of them, do you think?
The last two games has taken a lot out of the Wallabies. You saw probably the last 20 minutes that Michael Checker had to get his reserves on fairly quickly. So that England game was very sapping, and so was last night as well for the Wallabies against Wales. But the good thing that Michael Checker has done is he's got this team where he's got depth in the team. I've never seen depth in a Wallaby team ever before like this, where David Pocock isn't right. You've got a Michael Hooper that comes back into the side after his one-week suspension, and you've got Sean McMahon who's been playing the house down. So what Michael Checker, I know that he changed the team when the side went to play the All Blacks in that second test match at Eden Park, and he was a little bit criticised for it, but what he was trying to do, he had a bigger picture in mind to make sure that he could get depth in this Wallaby team for the World Cup.
Any word on how bad Israel Folau's ankle is, and do you not risk him against Scotland and hope they get through?
The word was last night that it was similar to the week before, so he hardly trained at all last week coming into the Welsh game, so probably similar to the same. I don't think he'll train much at all and have to be nursed into the game. He was a little bit off his game in the first half as he was playing fairly deep and missed a couple of high balls, but it was great to see him bounce back in that second half. He's a brilliant player, and when he gets his hands on the ball, he's very hard to stop.
I like the fact, Tim, that you know during that period in the second half, you could see with even Pocock was like limping around from when there were stoppages in play. No one just would go off, despite how injured they were. That says a lot to me.
Very, very tough player, David Pocock, and luckily I've heard today that it's not a strain of his calf. It looks like he got a bad knock on his calf, so usually you can ice that out and sort of stretch that out, but if it was a strain on the calf, that's usually 3 or 4 weeks, so they'll probably just assess it over the next 24, 48 hours, but you have got backup, and you certainly need a Michael Hooper, David Pocock tandem to go very deep in this World Cup.
Good on you, Tim. We'll let you get back to it there, mate, with that rowdy bunch. We're 3 wins away from winning it. That's the reality.
Yeah, looking forward to it, boys. And the boys on the bus just want to give a little shout-out to everyone in Australia. Ready, boys?
Good on you, Tim. Take care, mate. It's a rowdy drive, and Tim Horan, the expert that he is, giving us a nice insight into what the Wallabies are doing. There's no doubt they line up on a better side of things, so it'll be Australia against Scotland. They win that, they'll take on Argentina or Ireland, who I believe are the dark horses, and then win that and you're in the final. On the other side of things, South Africa will take on Wales. I'd say South Africa getting through. The All Blacks will take on France. They'll get through, so that's a good semi-final. So my prediction is Wallabies taking on the All Blacks in the final of the World Cup.